This is a special takeaway podcast for Wednesday, May 10th, 2017, the firing of FBI Director James Comey.
This is a president who saw that the FBI director had lost the public confidence, the confidence of Republicans and Democrats.
This is not normal. This is not politics as usual.
Any attempt to stop or undermine this FBI investigation would raise grave constitutional issues.
My gosh, when are they going to let that go? There is no there. It's time to move on.
Donald Trump doesn't want anyone coming any place close to an active investigation into the relationship between the Russians, the Trump campaign, and Donald Trump himself.
In the interim, I expect the FBI will continue to do its work. It is staffed by thousands of highly qualified professionals.
All of these actions are constitutional, but there's a really interesting and important question. What is a constitutional crisis?
Is this a constitutional crisis? This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. On Tuesday, President Donald Trump fired FBI Director James Comey. That's what you've been hearing since late yesterday. But did the commander-in-chief need permission to fire somebody? Let's look a little closer. Here's an excerpt from the letter the president sent to the FBI director yesterday. "While I greatly appreciate you informing me on three separate occasions," Trump wrote to Comey, "that I am not under investigation, I nevertheless concur with the judgment of the Department of Justice that you are not able to effectively lead the bureau." So the Department of Justice did this? They dismissed Comey and the president is simply agreeing? DOJ cited Comey's handling of the agency's investigation into Hillary Clinton's misuse of classified emails. But did the president need this DOJ cover to get rid of someone one would have thought he could easily have fired on his own? A delicate dance, to be sure. Is there a backstory here, or even a backstory? Here's one. In Congress, members say this has possibly interrupted or even interfered with a more sensitive investigation into the Trump campaign's connection with Russia and knowledge of Russian manipulation of the U.S. election, something the Trump administration denies, and ironically, something that Comey was being accused of interfering with the election by disclosing matters damaging to Hillary Clinton. Comey last week testified on the progress of those investigations. Perhaps that was on the itinerary for President Trump's meeting with Russian Foreign Minister Lavrov today. Each detail sorted and analyzed, and there are calls for an independent investigation. But for the moment, the president has the power to do what he did. And so Comey's long years at the Justice Department, constitutional crisis or not, are over. Todd Zwillick, Washington correspondent for The Takeaway. Reaction everywhere, I gather.
Yeah, reaction all over Capitol Hill, John, and you can imagine most senators who were in town saying that they were blindsided, shocked by this news. A couple members of the leadership said they got a brief heads up from the president before the firing was announced late yesterday afternoon. And now calls from Democrats, for the most part, although a few Republicans that I'll talk to you about, for a special prosecutor from the Justice Department. It would have to come from the Justice Department and newly installed Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein, who was approved by the Senate just days ago, very easily. He's the one who has the authority to appoint a special prosecutor. Why? Because remember that James Comey, as head of the FBI, was leading that potentially criminal investigation into connections between the Trump campaign and Russians. We also learned on the same day that Comey was fired that grand jury subpoenas have come down from an investigation into Michael Flynn and his associates and their financial dealings. So that investigation and that criminal investigation is very, very real. Democrats are worried it will now get interrupted. Here's Chuck Schumer, the Democratic leader.
Are people going to suspect cover-up? Absolutely. If an independent special prosecutor is appointed, there still can be some faith that we can get to the bottom of this. If not, everyone will suspect cover-up.
But the Schumer's remarks, while predictable, aren't going to move anyone on the Republican side of the aisle in the Senate or the House.
No, that's unclear. Here's the Republican leadership that's not moving. Here's John Cornyn of Texas. He's the deputy Republican leader who I spoke to.
Obviously, there's some political spin going on here, but I thought the Rosenstein memorandum laid out the case for the president's action, and the president clearly had the authority to do what he did.
Well, laid out the case again, but this isn't going to be adjudicated. I mean, the question really is an investigation into Russian involvement by the Trump administration violated in any way? And that's the open question. It's the unanswered question.
It is. And don't forget, there are parallel and separate investigations. You still have the House and Senate intelligence committees investigating ties between the Trump campaign and Russia. Those aren't criminal investigations. They can't prosecute anybody. The chairman of that Senate committee, Richard Burr, said he was very troubled by the timing of James Comey's firing. And the vice chairman, the Democrat, Mark Warner of Virginia, said he absolutely wants a special prosecutor. But, John, I counted 10 Republicans today saying they're not comfortable with how this firing was done and what it might mean. Now, none of them have said that they're going to do anything about it, join Democrats in demanding a special prosecutor or using their votes to force leadership or the president to do that, which they could do. But those voices are out there. Here's Jeff Flake. He's a conservative member of the Judiciary Committee. He's from Arizona.
I just don't know why this happened now. I'm having trouble with it still. So with regard to the special prosecutor, I'm looking to see how that would impact the Senate investigation that's going on.
Does that worry translate into action?
That's the question. Democrats do potentially have levers. They could join together and refuse to let the Senate do any work quickly until they get a special prosecutor. There are calls to potentially stand in the way of any FBI nominee unless and until a special prosecutor is appointed. John Cornyn said such a position would be ridiculous. And so the question is, where does it go from there? In the meantime, John, we had the president earlier today before meeting with Russian officials retreating to the White House, tweeting insults of Democratic senators, including Richard Blumenthal, and some comments that Blumenthal had made years ago in his campaign about serving in Vietnam. I asked Blumenthal if the president's insults and tweets meant anything to him.
His bullying won't silence my calls for an independent special prosecutor.
But the irony here is that the Democrats were reviling Comey over his investigation and disclosure of the Clinton email investigation just before the election. And back then, that was when Trump was saying he had all kinds of confidence in James Comey. It's
no question.
Reversed completely.
No question. And Democrats were reviling Comey more recently than that, as John McCain said to a big group of us earlier today, John. Role reversal is a way of life around here, and I suppose that it is. And we'll see if calls for a special prosecutor spread to Republicans and enough Republicans who might be up for re-election, like Jeff Flake, to see where this goes within the FBI. It's really up to Rod Rosenstein at this point.
All we're certain of here is that Comey's looking for a job. Thanks so much, Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent.
You bet, John.
So how does this happen? Paul McNulty is a former deputy attorney general of the U.S. from 05 to 07 and former U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of Virginia from 01 to 05. For him, the memo outlining Director Comey's handling of the Clinton case is the key to what's going on. Yet even he believes it's a strange way to go about this action.
I find the memorandum from Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein to be especially interesting in all of this. It's certainly in itself highly unusual and yet worded in very strong way has a recommendation that the attorney general and the president dismiss the FBI director. So I think it's the place to start in trying to sort out what's all going on here.
Is this the kind of thing that Donald Trump and the president might have had in his back pocket as sort of an ace if he decided he didn't like Comey? This seems like something that could have been decided a long time ago.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know what the president has been thinking, and I've read a number of reports of different comments the president's made at different times, so it's hard to know what to make of all of that. But it does appear as though the key driving facts here have to do with the assessment made by the new deputy attorney general. You have to remember that Rod Rosenstein has only been in office less than a month. He was confirmed by the Senate almost unanimously, so he's very well respected. And then you have the, as you mentioned, John, the hearing and the latest issue associated with the number of documents that may have been emailed from Secretary Clinton's assistant to her husband and the inaccuracy in those statements as being a significant fallout from that hearing. You have these things coming together at one time here that seem to really be the catalyst for the action.
The question of the president and the independence of the FBI, what's your assessment of that? Is the FBI supposed to be on some level, you know, relatively independent of the, I mean, obviously the president can fire just about anybody. I mean, I think he can fire anybody. You know, there's no HR to come to his defense. But You know, in this case, isn't there some expectation that the FBI is slightly different than other positions?
Oh, no question. The FBI has to have a reputation of independence and does have independence. I think that when you really look at the operations of the FBI, the thousands of agents that are in the United States and around the world, the work they do every day, they do operate independently. Now, they answer to the Department of Justice and to prosecutors in their investigations. And one of the things that is complicated about all that's going on right now is that, and relates back to the Hillary Clinton matter, is that the investigators don't call all the shots. The investigators play a very critical role in any particular matter, but ultimately they report up to a prosecutor overseeing an investigation. And so in the case, for example, of the Russia matter, it's ultimately being supervised by the Deputy Attorney General. And so with or without this director of the FBI, the career FBI agents who act independently every day and will continue to be independent will continue their investigation.
If you'll forgive me, that really makes absolutely no sense. I mean, yes, the machine will keep running without the head, but if the boss at the Justice Department, who has recused himself from the Russia investigations, supports this firing, and the president, who is the object of the investigation, is the person who signs the memo and basically cuts the head off the FBI, I mean, this looks dreadful. It looks absolutely as though Donald Trump is controlling an investigation into his own possible, you know, financial collusion. We don't even know about that, but certainly the Russian case.
You know, I understand that the appearance of this is what has everyone stirred up, and that's understandable. And that's something that has to be taken into consideration when any action is taken. But I just know from my own experience how investigations operate and the level of independence that career agents have.
I have no concern about lower level people at the FBI, you know, from, you know, parking attendants all the way up to the deputy, as you're talking about. It's the question of the credibility of the president himself and the Department of Justice. The American people are going to have a real difficult time figuring out what's going on here. I mean, isn't that fair to say? I mean, you know, the kinds of things that you've said, I understand, but this just does not look like a procedural matter here.
Yeah, I mean, when you're dealing with these kinds of things in public service, one of the big challenges is recognizing that certain aspects will be more easily understood, or there will be conclusions reached, and that some aspects will be difficult to communicate. Those are the kind of things that leaders have to regularly wrestle with. And I agree with you that as this unfolds over the next several days and however longer, that you know, there will be aspects of it that will be hard to understand. And ultimately, my experience, the truth of the matter comes sort of forth. And if indeed it is that the deputy attorney general has taken action because he believes that the FBI needs a different leader, then that, I think, will emerge as the key story. But it remains to be seen as to how public opinion develops as a result of all of this.
Paul McNulty is former Deputy Attorney General of the United States from 2005 to 2007. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, John.
Hi, this is Mike from Richburg, South Carolina. For what it's worth, a lot of the country is behind Trump right now. And Comey needed to go. He was elusive and not straightforward during the hearings. He needed to go.
Hi, Sheila from Michigan. Trump will never be my president. Every single thing he does, including the Comey firing, is insane. And I'm just tired of him. I can't wait until the investigation finds something so that we can impeach him, because I know it's there.
Norn writes on Twitter, what scares me most is that they don't even pretend to care about optics. You don't do this and plan to win fair elections. Tweet us your thoughts. We're at The Takeaway. Give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE. More on Comey. Stay with us. We're persistently trying to peer into the inner dynamics of the Trump Department of Justice and compare it to how everything has worked in other administrations. Matthew Miller is a former spokesperson for the Department of Justice under Eric Holder during the Obama administration. Unlike what Paul McNulty told us a moment ago, he can't believe the deputy attorney general would take an action like this voluntarily. Welcome to the program, Matthew.
Thanks for having me.
Can you describe the situation between DOJ's authority and the FBI's authority in the case that the FBI reports to the attorney general or not, reports to the president or not? How does this work?
The FBI director does report to the deputy attorney general and ultimately to the attorney general. The FBI is a component of the Justice Department. But there's always been a measure of independence, both of from DOJ from the White House and of the FBI from the White House. That's why the FBI director has a 10-year term that is supposed to stretch beyond any one presidential administration. And that principle of independence is what has been so thoroughly violated by the president's actions last night.
But didn't Bill Clinton toss that out the window when he fired FBI Director Sessions in 1993?
Well, this is a much different circumstance. When FBI Director Sessions was fired, it was after the department's Office of Professional Responsibility had conducted an investigation into his personal conduct and had found gross violations, not of any investigative authority, but of how he was using his office for himself. He was fired for poor conduct. He was not fired because the president didn't want him to conduct an investigation into the president's associates.
Well, one could say that those were a pretext for getting rid of someone who could have been a political threat because he was a Reagan appointee.
I don't think there was anyone who was watching the Justice Department at the time that actually believes that. There was no investigation into the president at the time. The 161-page report that the Office of Professional Responsibility produced about Director Sessions was blistering, and it was, you know, firing him was really the only appropriate response to it. There is nothing like that of this sort. In fact, the Inspector General has been investigating Director Comey, and what the president did last night is short-circuit that investigation. Instead of waiting for the outcome, waiting for the Inspector General's verdict, he went and acted on his own.
And in that case, then, do you believe that the discussion of the Clinton emails and the behavior of Comey in the Clinton emails investigation is a pretext for getting rid of Comey because of other investigations, principally the Russian matter?
I think it absolutely is. I think using the Clinton email investigation as an excuse is really a farce. I don't think anyone who's watched Donald Trump over the last year really believes that he has had a problem with Jim Comey violating the FBI's rules, procedures, and norms. In fact, if anything, Donald Trump has criticized Director Comey for not being tougher on Hillary Clinton. We're already seeing reporting coming out this morning, chiefly from Politico, that the president was mad that the FBI director publicly confirmed the investigation into the president's campaign. He was mad that the FBI director would not back up his unfounded claims about surveillance by the Obama administration. And because of that, he took action to fire him.
Do you believe that Deputy Attorney General Rosenstein is being made to take the fall here? Because he's only been in office for 2 weeks and, he hasn't had a chance to personally investigate this matter.
I think he voluntarily took the fall. I am gravely disappointed in Rod, someone I worked with when I was at the Department of Justice. One of the things about the department's independence, it's not written into the Constitution. It's not written into statutes that the department is independent from the White House. But the independence has always been respected when the leaders of the department stand up for it. That's why Elliot Richardson resigned during the Nixon administration, during Watergate, rather than fire the special prosecutor as the president requested him to. This was a real moment in history yesterday for Rod Rosenstein and for Jeff Sessions, and they both buckled to the president and failed the most important test possible for a leader at DOJ.
Well, I understand Sessions. I mean, he's recused himself, and he's, you know, very loyal to Donald Trump. But why would Rosenstein do this? What's in it for him?
Well, he gets to become the deputy attorney general, first of all, and he gets to stay as deputy attorney general. And if you look at the memo that he wrote,
he was always going to stay. He was always going to stay. He didn't go anywhere.
I don't know how anyone can say that, given that the president just fired the supposedly independent FBI director. I think the president sent a message to everyone in the Department of Justice that no one is safe. If you don't bow to his wishes, he will fire you.
So you believe that Rosenstein acted under threat from Donald Trump, that he would be fired unless he acted in this way?
I don't know if it was an explicit threat, but I think Rod Rosenstein was used by the attorney general, his boss, Jeff Sessions, and was used by the president. It defies belief to think that Rod Rosenstein came into office and the first thing he decided he would do, his first action would be to launch this review of the FBI director's conduct while the FBI director is investigating the most sensitive case possible. Anyone that knows how the Department of Justice works, it defies any logic about how the Deputy Attorney General would usually operate.
Matthew Biller is a former DOJ spokesperson under Eric Holder. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
We've heard from our Todd Zwillick. We've heard from a Republican appointee and a Democrat appointee. How about the American people? Megan writes us on Twitter, "While I rejoice when an incompetent liar gets fired, the manner in which Trump handled it is very suspicious and unethical." Lorraine writes, "The reason given is not even a fig leaf. It's laughable that Comey was fired for being misleading on the Clinton emails. Hashtag independent investigation."
This is Ethan from Traverse City, Michigan. I think that Trump firing FBI Director Comey is a clear example of corruption in this administration. It smells a lot like cover-up.
This is Rabbi Gershom calling from Sandstone, Minnesota. I think that the timing of this firing of Comey is very suspicious. I think it's an attempt to shut him up so he doesn't testify to cover up the Russian investigation.
The invitation is open, as you can hear from those responses. Lots of people with lots of different views, Democrat, Republican, conservative, and liberal. This is public radio, and we want your view of what's just happened in Washington. Give us your thoughts on Comey's firing, 877-8-MY-TAKE. Join the conversation on the Takeaways Facebook page. The invitation is open to you. Later this hour, we'll get more on the Comey situation with a legal and constitutional viewpoint. This is The Takeaway.
The Takeaway is supported by TIAA. Whether it's investing, advice, banking, or retirement, TIAA believes smart financial decisions should enable life, not define it. TIAA calls this the new success story. Learn more at TIAA.org. From Lumosity, offering a 10-minute fit test to challenge memory, attention, and problem-solving, training programs that draw from 50 brain games, and tools to compare scores with global averages. Learn more at Lumosity.com.
The firing of an FBI director, a bombshell, as our Todd Zwillick told us, unusual, a Republican former DOJ official told us, an obvious move made under threat, said our Democrat official earlier this hour. But legally, is it a twisting of the law, the Constitution? President Nixon dismissed his special prosecutor investigating Watergate, or got someone in his administration to do it when no one else would, after a slew of officials resigned. That was then, but this is now. Any real similarities? What about the differences? Does the president's pre-existing identity as a boss on TV give him some mysterious but tangible authority new to the presidency? Jeffrey Rosen is the president of the National Constitution Center and professor of law at George Washington University. Jeff, welcome back to The Takeaway.
Great to be back.
There are two questions here. Can Donald Trump fire an FBI director who's investigating him? And then there's the question of, can the president of the United States fire a senior official of the Justice Department, in this case, the FBI director? Are they different in this case?
No, not for constitutional purposes. And the simple answer to both questions is yes, the president has complete authority over the executive branch. The Justice Department is part of it. The FBI is part of the Justice Department. So the Supreme Court has held that he does have the power to fire Justice Department officials.
So the notion that the FBI is independent in some way is actually just a holdover from the J. Edgar Hoover days, who managed to enforce that purely with his personality and has no statutory basis.
Yes, the creation of the FBI with a 10-year term that surpassed any individual presidential term was designed to create a degree of independence, but not make the office completely independent of the president's ability to fire. Still, there's a norm that presidents don't fire FBI directors. Bill Clinton was the last president who did it, and that's what makes this firing so extraordinary.
But is it also what makes this firing not extraordinary in the sense that Bill Clinton established a possible tradition or ritual of rooting out political threats within the Justice Department by getting rid of the FBI director when he fired William Sessions in 1993?
That's true, but there is a specter haunting behind any firing, and that is Watergate. And that was an attempt by Nixon to obstruct an active investigation into his own criminal activities. The Saturday Night Massacre led to the firing of lots of people and eventually the firing of the special counsel, and Congress responded to that drama by passing the Independent Counsel Act, which led to the Clinton impeachment. The Congress then allowed that law to expire. So we're back to the pre-Watergate situation where the only options for independent investigations are special counsel, still within the Justice Department and potentially fireable by the president, or a special congressional inquiry. And if you want an independent inquiry, that really seems to be the best option.
But let's not forget, I mean, in the Nixon case, even that was constitutional, right? I mean, Nixon had the absolute authority to fire all those guys.
All of these actions are constitutional, but there's a really interesting and important question. What is a constitutional crisis? And one definition is when the branches disagree about a fundamental constitutional question and can't resolve it peacefully. So the Civil War was a constitutional crisis. The South says, we have the power to secede. Lincoln says, no, you don't, and they fight a civil war. Or the American Revolution, the general warrant spark revolution. But the question of whether Watergate was a constitutional crisis is an interesting one, because after all, the system eventually worked. Congress investigated, and the president resigned under threat of impeachment. So I think you could say that if Congress ordered the president, Trump, for example, to turn over documents, and he refused, and the Supreme Court said he had to, and he refused, that would be a constitutional crisis. But short of active obstruction of lawful orders, there's a lot of conflict here, but not necessarily a constitutional crisis.
Does Comey have a story to tell? And is there some piece of information here that could turn this into something fundamentally more serious and come close to a constitutional Nixon-like crisis?
Well, Comey knows what's going on in the active Russia investigation. He's constrained about what he's permitted to share about that, and he takes those constraints very seriously. But if he's subpoenaed by Congress, where he's required to answer truthfully all questions under oath, and reveals, just hypothetically, I'm just making this up, that he was about to issue an indictment and Trump found out about it and fired him, then that might indeed convince Congress that were grounds for impeachment. Again, no evidence of this, but yes, Comey knows a lot about the investigation, and at some point Congress may require him to tell us about it.
Is there any evidence that this Republican Congress would be inclined to do that? And that's a political judgment, not a constitutional or legal judgment.
It is a political judgment, but the fact that leading Republicans like John McCain said, I have long called for a special congressional committee to investigate Russia's interference in the 2016 election, and this decision only confirms the urgency of such a committee, suggests that if there's literally a smoking gun, like Comey had the tapes, was about to indict, and was fired, I would think that congressional Republicans as well as Democrats would be deeply concerned.
Jeff Rosen, we might have a certain amount of sympathy for the American people here who've gone through this election that was very divisive and filled with rhetoric that was very difficult to decipher. It was offensive to many, and the president took office at a moment of insecurity, even though he had a broad constituency that was overjoyed with his entrance into the White House. Yet, Donald Trump has this identity that's different from anyone else who's held the presidency. And his act of firing has a kind of authority that is different from anyone else who's been in the White House. Is there a bleed over into the authority of Donald Trump, the president, that relates to Donald Trump, you know, Master of the Apprentice reality show?
It's a really fascinating comparison, and there is a sense in which this is the constitutional version of The Apprentice, where Trump believes that he can fire anyone who displeases him. But that's not the way the Constitution works. There are serious norms in America built over two centuries against executive interference with the independence of investigations. That was precisely what Comey staked his directorship on. There are serious norms within the Justice Department, and it's really important for the American people not to reduce this to personalities, Trump versus Comey, but to demand the facts so that Congress can make an independent judgment about whether or not there were serious violations of the law. There have been so many norms that have been broken recently, but this notion that the president can do whatever he likes, although he absolutely has the constitutional authority to fire Comey, doesn't mean that the norms of the American constitutional system will ultimately reassert themselves.
Jeffrey Rosen is president of the National Constitution Center and professor of law at George Washington University. As always, thanks so much, Jeff.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Monica, and I'm calling from Sacramento, California. We really need to watch who is now appointed into office, because now that he's gone, Comey, there leaves a wide open spot for Trump's people to come in here and do whatever they want. So this investigation needs to be even stronger than it was before.
This is Sherry from Miami. While I'm happy to see Comey go, not under these circumstances and not at this time, and the fact that Comey was mean to Hillary is laughable from Donald Trump. Nobody's been meaner to Hillary than Donald Trump. I'm really afraid of this administration.
Nate told us on Twitter, it's certainly a test of the bedrock institutions of America. It's time for the GOP to put partisanship aside and commit to finding the truth. The invitation is open. Speak to us at 877-8MYTAKE or find us on Twitter at The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
Support for The Takeaway comes from the Henry Luce Foundation for increased understanding of East and Southeast Asia. The Takeaway's resilience reporting is supported by the Rockefeller Foundation. For more, go to rockfound.org.
PRI, Public Radio International.